Your newspaper has changed in the last 20 years. Physically, many papers are smaller than they used to be, and several have fewer sections. You may not even read a newspaper made of paper, but one on a screen. Some notable papers, like the New Orleans Times-Picayune, have ceased to be printed on paper every day of the week. Recently, Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums asked three journalists with experience in the Northwest Arkansas newspaper industry to come in for a conversation about the future of newspapers and journalism for this month's installment of our Three People series. Greg Harton is the opinion page editor for Northwest Arkansas Media, and before that, he spent several years as a reporter. John Gore is the city reporter for the Rogers Morning News, and he has been a reporter in several other states before moving here. Steve Wilkes is the director of student media at the University of Arkansas, and he oversees, among other things, the publication of the student newspaper, The Arkansas Traveler, a paper he edited when he was a student at the U of A. Each of the three began their careers when the arrival of the paper on the doorstep was a given. Daily occurrence in the newspaper was one of the, if not the, main sources of information. Here are excerpts from their conversation, including a discussion about another change, the shifting of deadlines because of instant information sources like Twitter. We'll hear from Greg Harton first.
In the grand scheme of things, the deadlines are every day, every moment, it's as soon as something is completed, as an event is completed, there's a push to get the information out there. Or an expectation, I guess. It depends on the event sometimes as to whether there's that immediacy in our situation.
In fact, we, at the last meeting of the Lake Atlanta situation, I tweeted live from the city council as to what was going on, who was speaking, and what the vote was. So it went out within seconds after it was taken.
And that's something you're teaching now, right?
Absolutely. There's courses in social media. Ray Miner's teaching a course in that. I don't know who else is doing that. And, of course, we're working hard to learn how to be journalists in this world. And the students, of course, it's interesting because, of course, they've kind of grown up with this stuff, as it's happened. And a year or two ago, we had a sports guy that was great. He would go to the games, baseball game, he would tweet the game live. It was like play-by-play. And I got to where I followed, Arkansas sports on Twitter because he was so good at it. So it's really interesting. But then the downside, of course, is that you'll get a journalist who tweets too quickly and doesn't know the story and either gets some portion of it wrong, and perhaps it's enough that it's really a problem. And that's happened as well.
John and Greg, what kind of conversations, because Twitter's been with us now for several years.
I think they just turned eight,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. What kind of conversations have taken place in the newsroom about Twitter and about the need for your entity to be out there tweeting as well, getting it fast?
Well, at first it was viewed as kind of a reporter's option. If you wanted to do it, we weren't going to make you do it. Increasingly, it's become more of an expectation, not for every single event, but for those events where we know the reader interest is high and, like the John's city council meeting, where people are watching for that, usually they really appreciate seeing those quick hits. Interestingly, like at the Fayetteville City Council, I think it's Don Marr who sits there and tweets out directly from the city administration perspective what's happening, and he does a pretty good job of just reporting. Here's what they voted on. Here's what the issue is, and so you it's not just media. It's more direct for politicians, for city officials, county officials. It's a direct link to their constituents out there. And so I think journalists have to look at it from a perspective of what are we doing differently? The tweets are going to be tweets in terms of the immediate, but then what are we going on to do with it in terms of the full story that gives the reader something more complete?
So the competition now is not just a newspaper v. newspaper or newspaper and television. It's a city administrator. It could be the Fayetteville Flyer blog. It could be anybody who's in the audience. I mean, does that seem like competition to you?
To an extent. I've always been an advocate for people getting their information from a variety of sources. So competition, to me, is a good thing. I liked it. You know, when we had multiple newspapers and multiple outlets and all, I think most journalists enjoyed that competition.
Absolutely.
Yes, we view it as some competition, not so much just the average Joe sitting in the audience, because most of the time that person is there for a specific issue, and they haven't built an audience up of city residents and all that are going to be, you know, involved on an ongoing basis with that person necessarily. So, but the city administration, some of the politicians, the various news media, I mean, you can have tweets coming from multiple sources, and that's a good thing. I think John's right that, you know, the context and some of the history there and all, you've got to go beyond the tweets for that in a lot of instances. But I can appreciate that when you're at an event, you know, you are competing to try to grab people's attention and help them to understand that this is an event that is worth paying attention to.
Greg, John, you are in newspapers. Steve, your background is a newspaper. You were a traveler editor. Mm-hmm. Newspaper's going to survive?
Yes, they're going to survive. They're not going to look the same, I don't think, in 50 or 20 years. I'm not yet at the place where, what's the guy that owns Amazon? Bezos, is that his name?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Cool. I'm not at the place where he says it'll be like horses. You know, we still have horses, but they're not our primary mode of transportation. Print will not be that, I hope. But the truth of the matter is people are spending much more time on particularly mobile devices, whether it's a phone or a tablet. You know, they say that the desktop was going to kill print so many years ago, and of course it didn't. But if anything is going to kill print, I think it's going to be a mobile device, a tablet-sized device. It might not look like these tablets that we have today, but Sony and other corporations and universities are working on flexible computers, flexible digital things that can download as a, you know, content from a satellite and change the page, you know, as you move along. So you're driving down the highway and you're driving, say, from Fayetteville to Amarillo, and when you pass through different market areas, your newspaper will literally change. Mm. That technology is going to come, whether it comes in our professional lifetimes or lifetimes, I don't know, but that's going to come. And so I really think it's really the idea of telling the story. It's really the idea of being a reporter and telling the story and then getting that story into the hands of the citizenry. That's what, to me, is important. And so whether that's on newsprint or it's in a mobile device like an iPad or wherever that is, I don't think that changes the fundamental purpose of a newspaper. And I don't know that we'll still call them newspapers, but that's my take on it.
The information source will still be there.
Yeah.
You ask, will newspapers die? Yes. The question is when. And I think they've got a long way to go before they die. But that's just talking about the physical delivery device. It's not talking about what journalists do. What I don't want to see disappear is some kind of delivery mechanism for news that creates a common base of knowledge within a community. Right now, newspaper shows up on your driveway, on your doorstep, and you're opening up a newspaper, and it's the same news delivered to everybody who subscribes to that newspaper. There's some value to me in everybody within a community.
Shared experience.
Shared experience. And you can define community in a whole bunch of different ways. I live in Fayetteville, so Fayetteville is community to me, and I want all the people in Fayetteville to have some kind of a source that is a common source of information, not their only source, but that we can have a shared knowledge base. Because once that falls apart, then you have to start wondering about the impacts on how we govern how we even come to consensus in a community if we have no common knowledge base.
My concern is the one thing newspapers do real well is they have reporters on the ground. I cover the city of government of Lowell and Rogers. I also do other things within the city of Rogers. We have an education reporter. We have a police reporter. We have an enterprise reporter. But they're on the ground. They know their beat. They know the people. They know what the issues are. If you lose that, where are bloggers going to get their information? Where is television going to get its information? Where are the bottom line? Where are the people going to get their information about things that affect their daily life? Because a municipal government has more impact on your life than the federal government, in my opinion.
Okay, so you have a beat. And there used to be a time when newspapers had larger staffs, there were so many beats. There are still beats. John, fair to say, all modesty aside, that you probably know more about Rogers City government than just a handful of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe Mayor Hines and a few others, but because that's what you're supposed to do,
right?
I
go there every day. I talk to everybody in City Hall every day. I know what's going on in the city of Rogers.
And you got to have that if you're going to have that common source. You've got to have people who have beats, who know what to ask, when to ask, and what to look for, right?
You absolutely have to do that. And on a local scale, it is one of those questions of who is going to do it if there's not a news organization committed to doing that.
That's it.
You can't, you know, we talked earlier about city administration's tweeting. Well, as well-intentioned as they may be, they have a perspective where, you know, they have certain agenda that they want to achieve.
Just like an athletic department or
absolutely.
An entertainment venue.
Yes. And you know, the University of Arkansas,
right.
In terms of athletics, you know, they have their own media operation, their own website that people pay for to get news and video and all that from the Razorbacks. But will that organization cover a Bobby Petrino type of scenario?
If left not, to only
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You absolutely will not get that from them. And some Razorback fans are just fine with that, you know, as long as it helps the program. But when you are, whether it's the university, the city of Fayetteville, whenever public tax dollars are involved, you need outside news coverage. It's helpful.
When I was growing up, you had the 5:30 news from one of three networks. You had the morning paper. Where I grew up, it was a statewide paper that was, you know, nothing after 6 p.m. got into the Democrat or the Gazette at that point. But what you had was this, not just a common shared, but this omnibus of things. So, like, before I would get to the story about the Rogers City Council, I might first see a story about the state legislature or something that I wouldn't have known. Now there are so many sources that if all I wanted to know about was Razorback sports, I could go to that Razorback website. I could go to any number of sports websites and pick your topic.
Yeah.
But you can easily now pigeonhole and not be informed. And I mean, that's up to the individual's responsibility, I guess, but I don't know, I just miss those times when you had to kind of at least see the picture on the front page about what might be happening in Syria.
We had a story the other day about service organizations like Rotary, Kiwanis, those sorts of things.
It's
and
a good story.
How they were struggling and are struggling with younger generations feeling that commitment to community to join a service organization and do volunteer work and those sorts of things. Are we teaching kids today about their civic nature, their civic responsibilities? And I don't know if they feel the same way as older generations do about that. But ultimately, you can't complain about the abundance of information.
No.
The free flow of information is a great thing. It's really what we do with it. And that's larger than, will newspapers survive and all of that. It's
right.
It's how are we going to be as a nation, as a people, and how are we going to govern ourselves? And if we have people that really pigeonhole themselves into You know, I'm just interested in kayaking.
Or this ideology.
Or an ideology. Then I think that's a dangerous thing.
Kind of becoming a nation of savants.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
You know, which is just insane. But it's, you know, I think that's happening, unfortunately. And I would like to see, go back to what Greg mentioned, I would like to see better civics taught in middle school and junior high school, even college. I can't comment on what any school district in particular is doing, but I just see so much evidence of college-aged folks who just really don't know what a newspaper is. They don't know how to read it. They don't get it that the opinion page is opinion, but the front page is not, and they don't understand that difference necessarily. I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but I see it all the time. And I think that it's going to be even more important as we lose this common, field of a printed newspaper, as that begins to go away, that we somehow get to the heart of how are you a good citizen in your town or in your country or in your state? And part of that is knowing the news, knowing what's going on. And it makes me crazy when people don't know what's going on.
Steve Wilkes is the director of student media at the University of Arkansas. We also heard from John Gore, city reporter for the Rogers Morning News, and Greg Harton, the opinion page editor of Northwest Arkansas Media. They talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums for our monthly Three People series. If you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like to hear covered in this series, send us an email at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com.